And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. Dave Lewis joining me here this hour, along with Riley County Historical Museum Executive Director Cheryl Collins. We're talking about the big boy. I'm going to be chugging into Manhattan here Wednesday.
Chugging.
Yeah. Well, it apparently got to Kansas City last night. Here's a little bit of sound from KCTV5 in Kansas City on their newscast last night.
And it is no misnomer. Union Pacific's newly refurbished Big Boy steam locomotive.
That's the only audio I could find.
Is that all you could get?
So far, but...
But it has a very characteristic sound. And yeah. It bellows. I mean, it pushes a lot of steam.
So that'll be very interesting to not only feel it, but hear it and experience it in that kind of way, which you...
And there are bells that you'll hear.
A picture just doesn't convey that.
Yeah. There are bells that you hear. I think that there's a crew of either 6 or 8 men that are involved in this project
that number of men to run that.
I would suppose that there's probably some shifts that are involved and other aspects,
but I
saw an image of a number of guys and you know they got big yellow coats and they're wearing jeans and boots.
They probably have watches too.
Wouldn't surprise me. If you're going to be on a train, and especially if you're going to be a conductor, you got to have a pocket watch, right?
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's an app for that now, but these things are just massive, and I've been fascinated with trains my whole life.
Did you live near the railroad tracks?
I did. It was about a half mile, but there was nothing in between our house and the train. It was a Missouri Pacific track. It was a Missouri Pacific track that went through Dickinson County and actually came up through this direction also.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed when living in Nebraska for about 5 years or 6 years almost was a lot of the cities built their cities around the railroad tracks. There's a number of cities that are right along where that east-west route goes along Highway 30, including North Platte, which is where the big rail yard
and
is.
You can tell when it's the railroad owned the land around them, they're T-towns, and the rail station is the central point. So it could, because that's one of the ways railroads made money, is they bought up the land around what became the town and then sold those lots. So some towns were built as railroad towns, with the railroad actually owning the town to begin with.
Well, you know, we've seen a lot of stories, you know, including Blazing Saddles, about those land profiteers, those guys that went out there and tried to buy all that land.
it's a central theme in Western history, I think.
You know, and there's some great train movies that are out there, too. You know, 310 to Yuma comes to mind. There's a bunch.
To kind of give you that feeling for what it was like. And you can go out and see some trains in the area. We have at Fort Riley a train out there in, what's the name of that park that it's in? Just off Huebner Road out at Fort Riley. Mm-hmm. And it's an Alco Brooks train.
Right. That's the manufacturer of the locomotive.
My understanding, it was built in 1907, and the UP donated it out there in 1958. So you could go out and see that train.
You can climb on it.
Well, you used to be able to. I suspect they discourage that. Hmm. However, you can see it very up close. And, of course, you can go on the train at the Kansas Museum of History. And that's an 1880s train at the Kansas Museum of History, which, of course, they built the museum around the train, essentially.
Now, did you know that Sprint, the telecommunications network, has its ties to the railroad?
No.
And Junction City.
No.
Sprint is founded in, the founding of Sprint is from Abilene,
right,
and
C.
Junction
Brown.
City. It was United Telephone Company for some time. But Sprint is actually an acronym, short for the Southern Pacific Railroad Internal Network Telecommunications.
I never knew that.
So that was the combination of the Southern Pacific train line, railroad line, and the phone lines that they were putting in down that right of way. And Sprint was founded because of that.
That's very interesting.
And we're talking with Cheryl Collins here again, Riley County Museum Executive director, as we talk about railroads here. Looks like we may have a caller with a question about that. It's so interesting to hear, because our history is so rooted in the railroad system, especially in this part of the country. You mentioned the Pony Express. That was a big and not a very long-lasting method of communication, but it certainly the railroad kind of took away the Pony Express.
Right.
Telegraph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And telegraph, yeah. Primarily telegraph, replaced Pony Express in a large route.
Another railroad I want to mention that we had coming out of Manhattan was the Manhattan-Alma-Burlingame Railroad. And that was put in 1880 from Zinedale to Alma. And that line was abandoned in 1898. So it wasn't long-lasting, but it was important for its time. You can still see where it went through as well.
Well, the land is always, you know, once the railway clears the land, you always know that there's going to be a bed, you know.
Yes.
A lot of linear trails, a lot of walking trails throughout much of Kansas. In fact, there's a new one that's what's the name of the trail? It's going through a large portion of the state.
That Flint Hills Trail, or the one that goes from Ottawa down to Council Grove?
Yes. That is on a trail, on a rain trail.
Well, and of course, we benefited from that, having a railroad bed with Fort Riley Boulevard, you mentioned. And that was our last railroad built through Riley County, which was the Chicago, Rock Island, and Pacific, built in 1887. And of course, when that closed in 1980, that meant that railroad bed was available to eventually build Fort Riley Boulevard, which gave Manhattan essentially a ring road, so you could get all the way around town with all the segments.
And this is kind of outside of our local area. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, up in up north of us, Blue Rapids, that area. They have a Missouri Pacific Caboose in the park, and there's a huge historical society network there. With railroads, and that's that line from Manhattan that goes up north, that line go to Lincoln, eventually, somewhere up in Nebraska, where it caught in on that transcontinental line.
I'm not very good with that railroad geography.
Or maybe it was just up to Mary's just up that Union Pacific line.
After it leaves Riley County, I'm a little lost.
your research has boundaries?
It does.
But it would be the Union Pacific line that goes through Marysville. Now, I think it's neat to see all of those lines that are just built so meticulously in place as you go over that bridge, as you drive into Marysville.
Well, and it's very interesting. Even those ones that are gone, you can still see where they went. As you mentioned, there a lot of them are trails. But even if they aren't trails, you can still see that pattern. That Manhattan, Alma, and Burlingame, when you go out Zinedale Road, if you watch, you can see where that line ran through there.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's so fascinating to be able to see stuff like that, and just little bits and pieces. Kind of like when you see the divots from the wagon wheels that came through here.
Right, the trail ruts that we have. And of course, all these transportation patterns were really, really important. The earliest time was the trails, and then superseded that was the railroads, and of course now highways, and the development of the interstate transportation system that connects all the more local roads to the national roads and so on. So it all fits together, and we fit into that.
It's funny, like the railroad follows the river, and you know then the interstate follows the railroad.
Right.
So,
you know, rail was also big with a shipment of mail.
Oh, yes.
You remember, and you've probably seen videos of this where there were posts that were up on some of these railroad lines where there would be a mail bag that would be hanging.
With this stick that we have, one of those sticks on exhibit at the Riley County Historical Museum right now.
And you put the bag on the stick and put
it
up there on the post.
Catch it with this stick with some strings on the end that you can grab that bag.
Catch your mail and go. And the Santa Fe, the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Right.
Was a big connection, big connecting route with that.
Big connecting. And, of course, a lot of those railroads have been merged now. And so you have
there's not that many around anymore.
Right.
You know, BNSF and
Burlington Northern,
Santa Fe. Of which Carl Ice is a president of.
Yeah, so we have kind of a Manhattan, Riley County connection.
Manhattan alum and the College of Engineering just recently was named after him. Very generous man, and I've gotten to be friends with them, and talking trains with them is a lot of fun. Absolutely a lot of fun. And ATSF, or the BNSF, is under the Warren Buffett umbrella.
Okay.
So.
Well, and of course, those transport. My husband's family owned a shoe store in Winfield, and they would take the train from Winfield to Kansas City to go to the shoe markets. And gosh, you could do it in a day. You could take the train up, buy your shoes, come back home. So great transportation.
We'll take our final break. We'll talk about some other things that people have done by train around the area when we return with In Focus, Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Museum joining us this morning.